It turned out to not always be quite as stable as people might have liked, but these patches never did actually make it into a kernel for a very long time. So long to get into a new, allegedly stable release, we're shipping kernels with literally hundreds of patches from the development kernels. Input in the wider testing that development kernels had. They had their sort of own private development kernel where they would mix and match things in. And so you had a kernel. Things are starting to look just a little bit more disruptive than before. Kernel series, but they threw it in. Still nothing all that serious. But then you have a subsystem. Various things, I don't really have time to go through all the executable stack support. Again, changes that you wouldn't ordinarily expect to see happening in a stable kernel series. And this was kind of the context that held when, so you can see the way Andrew Morton expressed it there. And all deleted 600,000 lines and added 900,000, had changed a quarter of the kernel heading into the kernel summit. Every year, traditionally, at the kernel developer summit, there's a session right towards the end where everybody kind of backs Linus and, on the stable side, a concern for code quality, I think. And the MM tree that he runs, which you have a way of stabilizing it before you put it into the mainline, so the things forth between Andrew and Linus made the system work well enough that the resulting kernels were much better. So, like it or not, your kernels are in the hand. You get your nice patch, you send it off to Linus, you don't hear a thing. A couple weeks later, kernel comes home. It was a very lossy, very difficult system to work with. More transparent, you know right away if a patch goes into the main line. You can see how the patch, frankly, was to get Linus to use a source code management system. People remember back before BitKeeper was adopted, there was nothing. You sent patches off to Linus, you get a truce. So how it works, sort of into the dash MM tree, they get tested there for a while. People actually run these. They get kicked out if they just aren't working, and they turn out to not be as useful as they thought they would be. Finally, everything works. The 2.6 release comes out, and everybody's happy. Now, if people think back to the way things were supposed to work, go out with problems, sometimes even security problems that people knew about at the time, the 2.6.x.whatever trees are also helping, and it ever has been. Or at least it was. It's kind of stalled at the moment, and I'll get into it. The tree that came out was the first kernel was 2.6.8. Added a whole bunch of stuff, device mapper things, non-execute support for the x86 process, changed the way I/O scheduling is done, kernel events, and so on. Lots of changes being shoveled in. That's a truly fundamental change, which is four-level page tables. If I have them, works. And it has been, I think, a classic example of how this process can work. Because this code went into MM for a while, got shaken out. 2.6.12, which will come out sometime, includes, so you can have your nicely DRM'd Linux system in the future, something we've all said that things like that have gone into there. And that is really where we stand now, is with, as we look to the future, that's our context. Time to make a few predictions. Again, don't hold me to them or even record them. All right. Yes?
Don't you think that the movement to the front line, the WOs are more ready to counters than wait for distribution? Now are more keen on...
Okay, yeah, the question was, do I think if the fact that more people are willing to test out the kernels more quickly helps? And of course it does. If you just look at what's going on out there, until a few minutes ago, there hadn't been any kernel. Developers were distracted with this sort of, what do we do now? How are we going to replace this system? Once again, we have seen my own personal belief that proprietary software has its risks. And we've seen how this can bite you. You've got to have another way to go. These blobs, they're called, the file revisions, and tie them together into, and there are what are called commit objects, which then capture the changes in the tree in which code gives you the ability to track the state of 200 patches at once. He doesn't have to spend half the day feeding them into the system. So what it needs is a source code management. This is what was bkbits.net. Then you add a few layers on top of that that can actually support and so on. The decision seems to have been made for an history goes. The reasons for this include, at the moment, to actually do anything useful with all that history anyway. So there doesn't seem to be much point for now. There's also the question, of course, if we wouldn't get it. It's out there in other forms. It's there. It's just not in. It's not in Linus's repository. That is the mainline main. It's not worth the trouble for now. Great.
Why did they make it?
You know, ask Martin Poole this afternoon. Yeah, this is a different key incoming kernels. First couple things that have already been merged. One is address space slowly bring their kernels closer to the mainline. What it does, and for its mmap area, it randomizes it a bit. It throws in some random. You would do this is as a simple defense against buffer overflow attacks. If you think of the very simplest form of buffer overflow, where you're okay, another important patch for some people in two simple paths to the devices implemented by that storage array. You've got, and if one of your paths to the system fails, you can use a different one. It can give you performance. Can let people have implemented down in low-level block drivers. People talk about putting it in the SCSI layer, putting it in the block layer, somewhere else. None of these have ever worked. One of these paths goes down. It simply doesn't use it anymore. It tells user space about it. This gives you a nice, flexible way of dealing with these complicated multi-path storage. Big issues, I think, will remain for a while yet, is that of latency. Latency is important for desktop systems. If you type a character at OpenOffice and it has to muscle everything else out of the system first, as it typically does, then you end up waiting. It used to be the one SMP lock in the kernel. It's not used by my kernel lock, simply because the processor would be sitting there spinning, waiting for the big, making the kernel spin. This is sort of an ongoing effort. People fix them, and then somebody does dealing with them. Voluntary preemption points are just another way of dealing with this. We could yield the processor here if somebody needs it. On the other one, why don't we just make everything preemptible? There's enough sleep waiting for a spin lock rather than actually spinning on it. It's no longer a spin lock. Okay. I'm talking about the Linux kernel implementation of a semaphore. He was asking what it is. Sort of thing. You have to change some of the locking methods that go in there. Have to be changed in fairly fundamental ways, and so on. It's a lot of people, I think, don't see the point of trying to do that sort of thing in the main level. It changes so many things that you have to just sort of put it off to the side for a while and see what happens to it. The older version of the patch that turned read, copy, update into essentially just another. This is not big iron stuff here. A lot of the primitives of spin lock will disable preemption. So if you go into virtualization, sort of the hot topic that's been out there for a while, don't really have time to get into it in any big way. There's a lot of cool things you can do it soon. Some people wonder about the approach that they took with the Xen architecture. A number of virtualization efforts out there. You'll see this work continue. For now is Riser 4, a completely new version of the Riser FS file system. It's the sort of notion of everything is an object in the file system, even things you wouldn't ordinarily think of being as in the file system. It wants to add transactional capability. You hear from Alvaro if you do that. And they heard from him. And so they kind of one that we may see go in sooner is the file systems in user space. People have done this to use this tar file into a file system. You've got a tarball there. You can simply mount it as a file system and move around in it, things like that. You can do cool things. If nothing else, it's a nice prototyping. It's a way of letting user space know what's really going on so it can react to things. There's a lot of interesting stuff, I think, happening with the desktop and making things work properly. Have software suspend working on your systems. Oh, it's actually... I have it working as long as I don't... It's a lot of it's in user space. It's basically kicking out the hard... It's an important feature. I hope it gets there soon. I'm running a little late here. You've got this monstrously complex security system before dealing with security issues. Until very recently, the kernel development project had no security contact. Bigger and bigger machines... Lots of work being done, lock removal, just simply be able to work, and so on. I won't really get into this. This is going on. And they've done it for the most part. And so you know that this work is actually worth something, even if it seems fairly esoteric in the short term. Cluster. kernel code hygiene, cleaning things up, some of the stuff that Trej was talking about on getting good quality code into the system, we'll think have gotten way, way out of control. And this makes life tools, and that really doesn't bother people at all. In general, you're seeing that the tolerance for binary proprietary mods have the relations between this.
How much of the new development process relies upon this relationship?
How much of the development process depends on the relationship between Andrew and Linus in particular? And we would recover somehow. It would hurt for a while. When you lose good people, you lose good people. But, you know, they have shown how the system... So, I'll think of something when I leave the room, but I'm not sure I would say... I don't know. Things work pretty well for me. So it may be that we never really see a big.
Theory, if the U.S. like, there's already many instances of companies. If Europe remained free of software patents, and of course,
might Linux development move to Europe if they managed to avoid software patents? I don't know. You know, Linux. All right. Well, thank you. I will. Just give me up. I don't know. Okay.
Audit.
Audit.
What's that?
Audit. I mean, in terms of the audit.
Core systems that if you were to thrash them, then they would start getting read errors and cooking, or else it won't resync. The drive it's reading from will insist that it has read errors. They're all different kernel versions and everything.
Yeah, I've had a VHN do that, but I haven't assembled one drive.
It's actually possible that this is software RAID related. Like,
yeah,
there was a recent